Good evening and welcome to a one-night stand with the big band. On a one-night stand, the awesome talent of Charlie Ventura, one of the giants of jazz, one of the greatest tenor men in an era of great tenor saxophonists. This is Arnold Dane, and a one-night stand is brought to you tonight by Russo Chevrolet across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks, and by the Palace Theater of Waterbury, featuring the world's greatest jazz band, June 21st. Welcome to a one-night stand with the big bands, featuring the talented tenor man, Charlie Ventura. We were fortunate to have this giant of jazz, Charlie Ventura, drop by our WTIC studios recently. It was relatively easy to do since he's making an extended engagement performing here in the Hartford area in Windsor, Connecticut. And we have been looking forward to the opportunity to meet this man for a very long time. In our interview with Gene Krupa, he told us that Charlie Ventura was one of the greatest people and one of the greatest musicians of all time. I think you'll agree when you hear the conversation that we recorded with Charlie earlier. And we'll present Charlie Ventura on a one-night stand in just a moment after this word from Russo Chevrolet. If yours is a family that likes summer excursions, you probably have big plans for the coming weeks. But what about that car of yours? If it's not in top condition, you may find yourself in a strange garage instead of on the road. Don't let anything keep you from the shore or the mountains or wherever you'd like to be. Just make your first stop, Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. If you need repairs, Russo has a top-flight crew of trained mechanics who are ready to put your car in the best condition possible. With the help of their new electronic analyzer, you can be sure your car will be ready for any road and weather conditions. If a new car is in your future, Russo has a grand selection of Chevy Impalas and Caprices for full family comfort, and also the luxurious Traveler, the Monte Carlo. For smaller loads, perhaps you'd choose the sporty Camaro or the dependable, economical Vega. If camping is your sport, Russo has everything from the popular pickup camper to fully equipped motor homes. Remember, any way you want to go, Russo has the car or truck to get you there in style. That's Russo Chevrolet across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. Let's trace your career, and it's been a marvelous long career. Do you mind telling us when you were born, Charlie?
No, I was born in 19... Now, there's a little discrepancy there now, Arnold. I have two birth certificates. One of them is 1916 and one 1917. But I'll take 1916. That makes me a year longer to enjoy this wonderful thing. But that would make me 56.
Uh-huh.
I'm very happy.
And where were you born?
In Philadelphia.
So many great stars have come from Philadelphia, great musicians, vocalists, and so on. And when did you begin playing a musical instrument?
I started professionally to make it a career, Arnold, in 1942 when I joined Gene Krupa. But before that, I never had intended it to be a livelihood. I just happened to be attracted by the sound, and in fact, I think we were discussing that you had mentioned the saxophone player's name, that I said, gee, that's the fellow that inspired me.
Yes, we were, before we began recording, yeah, we were talking about some of the great musicians who've, yeah, been lost through accidents on one-night stands and so on, and I said, one of my favorites of all time, he was with Cab Calloway at the time, Chu Berry, right, died that way, right, and he was your inspiration.
He was the one, you remember the days when the around midnight, early 40s, you'd hear emanating from a place like the Zanzibar, the live bands. And,
yeah, great
you
days.
You tune in the radio and you switch to another program and you hear the Glenn Gray or Glenn Miller, all these bands, Artie Shaw, Benny Goodman. And I happened to tune in and I caught Cab Calloway. This is before I even played an instrument. And Chu Berry, I was playing a solo on the tenor saxophone, and I was just fascinated and overwhelmed by the sound, and I said, I've got to play that instrument if there's anything musically, and that's how it happened. I did it the wrong way. I went out to buy a saxophone, but I didn't know the difference between a tenor, alto, baritone, or soprano, or C melody, and lo and behold, it had to be a C melody saxophone,
oh,
which
really?
No one ever uses. It's outdated, the whole thing.
But many great, yeah, saxophones. Charlie, yeah, Barnett started,
yeah,
on C melody.
So did Jimmy Dorsey, yes, and a lot of them. But I started on C melody, and from then on I played alto, the baritone, and as you know, tenor is my tenor,
yes,
saxophone.
You are not unlike in style Chu Berry. I'm sure you'll be flattered to hear that, because he was a brilliant musician. But your tone is far different from his. Yours is a much bigger, heavier tone.
Well, I'll tell you, maybe it's a combination of being inspired. First, as I said, I got the message from listening to the wonderful late Chu Berry. And then also there was Coleman Hawkins, Leslie Young, and it was Herschel Evans, used to play with Count Basie, and Giorgio Vito Musso, and I can go on and on and on during the time, Babe Russin.
Oh, yes.
There were so many excellent, outstanding players in those days, in the late 30s and the early 40s.
You had the best teachers in the world then. We're going to trace your career, Charlie, chronologically, but before we do that, I'm going to play something right now that I'm looking forward to hearing for the first time, that you recorded in 1949. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves chronologically, but this is listed by Charlie Ventura and his orchestra, Ventura, leader and sax, Cotty Candoli, yeah, on trumpet, Benny Green, trombone, a good friend of yours who passed on, yeah, a few years ago. Did he play alto sax?
Yeah, alto, blues? And he also doubled with baritone sax. This is the seven-piece band. This is not the big orchestra.
Right.
This is a small band.
This is Boots Musilli, is
yeah,
that how
Boots
you pronounce
Musilli,
it?
Yeah, Boots
Musilli,
yeah.
Dave McKenna on piano,
yeah,
Red Mitchell on bass,
yeah,
Ed Shaughnessy on drums. What a heck,
yeah,
of a lineup.
Yeah.
Here it is then, a great musical experience. Charlie Ventura's All-Stars and Ha!
Thank you.
There you have it, the world's greatest jazz band of Yak Lawson and Bob Haggard. It's what every jazz fan has been waiting for, and they're appearing June 21st at the Palace Theater in Waterbury. See the greats of jazz in concert for this one-night performance. Vic Dickinson, Bud Freeman, Bobby Rosengarten, Eddie Hubbell, Ralph Sutton, Bob Wilbur, and Billy Butterfield. From coast to coast and around the world, critics have acclaimed the world's greatest jazz band as one that truly lives up to its name. Don't miss these famous heroes of jazz and their special one-night performance, Thursday, June 21st, 8 p.m. at the Palace Theater, 100 East Main Street in Waterbury. Tickets are on sale at $3, $4, and $5. Call 754-6122. That's 754-6122. Don't miss your chance to hear jazz performed by the musicians who made it famous. Before we go back and pick up your career chronologically, Charlie, there was another thing you recorded the same year as the number we just heard, 1949. This was with the Metronome All-Stars.
Yeah.
You remember that session?
Yeah, I do. I was so scared.
Wow. I just never think of great musicians being frightened of a thing like this.
I was extremely nervous, Arnold. Well, to begin with, I was very honored to be selected the winner of the Metronome poll. And to be alongside of all the giants, such as Charlie Parker, Dizzy. Well, I think you do a better job of reading the personnel.
Charlie Parker, the bird, on alto sax. Charlie, of course, on tenor sax. Ernie Caceres on baritone sax. Now, he played with Glenn Miller and many others, and he died just a few years ago. Buddy DeFranco on clarinet, who's a brilliant clarinetist, and he's now the leader of the Glenn Miller Orchestra. Lenny Tristano on piano, Billy Bauer guitar, Dizzy Gillespie, Miles Davis, and Fats Navarro on trumpet. It's a shame nobody talented was available. Kai Winding and J.J. Johnson on trombones, Eddie Safransky bass, and Shelly Mann on drums. Do you remember the session when you recorded this number?
Yes, sitting down. And the wonderful part about it, we all had these beautiful pearl music stands with our names on them, Metronome, you know. And look around at all these names. And incidentally, Stan Kenton was selected as the leader.
It's a number called Overtime. Now, is it a head arrangement or is it an arrangement at all?
Oh, I think that was made up by Pete Ruggolo. When we rehearsed the piece, it was too long for the record. I guess that's where they got the title, Overtime.
Thank you. Now, if we can, as we continue our conversation with Charlie Ventura, go back to the first big band that you broke in with, Gene Krupa. He must be a marvelous guy. We've interviewed him, and he's extremely friendly. Not at all the brash type that one might have featured after watching him in movies and so on. How did you come to join his band?
You know, I came from Philadelphia, and the Philadelphia, on 11th and Market Street, which is the center of town, there's a theater, the Earl Theater, Arnold, and they would present stage shows, and all the big bands would come out and have an engagement for a one-week engagement at the Earl Theater. And right around the corner, on the second floor, there was a little jazz club called the Downbeat Club. And during stage breaks where they show the picture and the fellas would get off, and they'd all congregate up to this little jazz place called the Downbeat. And I happened to be playing there with a little local group at this place. I think we were making about $4 a night there, but we were working during the daytime. I was a clerk at the Philadelphia Navy Yard during that time, but we'd get our kicks, as I said. Music, to me at that time, was just as a hobby. I never thought about making it my career. And we'd all congregate and have a jam session. All the guys that were appearing with the big bands, not only Gene Krupa's band, but the guys like Artie Shaw, Benny Goodman, Glenn Gray, or any of the big bands, Les Brown, all the members would all come out and get their hair down and start playing and having jam sessions. Before you know it, we'd have maybe 10, 11, 12 guys up there playing, even the late Bunny Berrigan, Louis Armstrong, and whoever was appearing in town. Well, it so happened that Roy Eldridge happened to be sitting and playing, and he heard me play. And this was 1942, Arnold, and it was during the time that a lot of the guys were going into service, and there was a demand for players, and Roy had recommended me to Gene. They called me to make an audition with the band. I got scared by the telephone call, you know, and I thought, no way. I've got a steady job. In 20 years, I'm going to go on pension. I've got a job for life. And he kept insisting on calling me about 2 or 3 weeks later. He said, would you please try out for the band? And I had accepted the offer. My friends talked me into it. Why don't you try it and try it to see how you like it and stuff like that. And I finally accepted the offer. I went to Baltimore to try out for the band, the Hippodrome Theater, 1942. And that changed the entire course of my life as far as my career.
I'm sure happy he convinced you to do it.
I'm very happy, and in regards to Gene, I had nothing but thanks, because he's responsible for the nice things that have happened to me, and has been my friend since the first day I met him, and we're still the dearest of friends.
Good.
A great guy.
You were with him how long in this initial period?
Well, I joined him in 42, and then was with him for about a year and a half, Arnold, and I rejoined him in the latter part of 43, up until 1946, and with Gene had an interest in helping me form my own big band. In fact, he was he was one of the backers of my big band, along with his attorneys. And I had the big band for a while, for about 6 months, and it was kind of an uphill battle, you know. I rejoined Gene as a group again. We had the Teddy Napoleon, myself, and with Gene Krupa back in 52. We took a tour to Japan and made the jazz at the Philharmonic with Norman Grant.
Yes.
And there were spots in between that we rejoined with the smaller group where we would get together. So all in all, and then I rejoined Gene again in 1961 with his quartet. So
your paths do keep crossing.
Yeah, and the last time I played with Gene was a 3-day engagement out in Philadelphia about a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh. So when you left him originally, Charlie, back in about 43, went with Teddy Powell's band.
Yeah, Teddy Powell's band.
Which was a great one, but we have no record.
Yeah, it's a shame. It was during a time when they had a band strike on the recording. For 2 years, no one was able to record anything. And it's a shame because he did have an excellent instrumental band.
After you left Teddy Paul and went back to Krupa, back around 1944 thereabouts.
Right.
We can pick up a record that you made in 1945. Now, this is not one in which you happen to be featured. You do play one good lick in it, as I recall. You remember Leave Us Leap?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We did that in the motion picture. We played that and George White Scandals of 1946, that particular song.
This must be that recording, because it was done in Hollywood, February 22nd of 1945, and 45. Gene Krupa's band was complete with, there must be at least a dozen strings, and you'll be able to hear Charlie Ventura take off on a bit of a lick. Here's Gene Krupa's Leave Us Leap. If yours is a family that likes summer excursions, you probably have big plans for the coming weeks. But what about that car of yours? If it's not in top condition, you may find yourself in a strange garage instead of on the road. Don't let anything keep you from the shore or the mountains or wherever you'd like to be. Just make your first stop Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. If you need repairs, Russo has a top-flight crew of trained mechanics who are ready to put your car in the best condition possible. With the help of their new electronic analyzer, you can be sure your car will be ready for any road and weather conditions. If a new car is in your future, Russo has a grand selection of Chevy Impalas and Caprices for full family comfort, and also the luxurious Traveler, the Monte Carlo. For smaller loads, perhaps you'd choose the sporty Camaro or the dependable economical Vega. If camping is your sport, Russo has everything from the popular pickup camper to fully equipped motorhomes. Remember, any way you want to go, Russo has the car or truck to get you there in style. That's Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. You're listening to special guest Charlie Ventura on a one-night stand with the big bands on WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut, being brought to you by Russo Chevrolet of Windsor Locks and by the Palace Theater of Waterbury. There you have it, the world's greatest jazz band of Yank Lawson and Bob Haggard. It's what every jazz fan has been waiting for, and they're appearing June 21st at the Palace Theater in Waterbury. See the greats of jazz in concert for this one-night performance. Vic Dickinson, Bud Freeman, Bobby Rosengarten, Eddie Hubbell, Ralph Sutton, Bob Wilbur, and Billy Butterfield. From coast to coast and around the world, critics have acclaimed the world's greatest jazz band as one that truly lives up to its name. Don't miss these famous heroes of jazz at their special one-night performance, Thursday, June 21st, 8 p.m. at the Palace Theater, 100 East Main Street in Waterbury. Tickets are on sale now at $3, $4, and $5. Call 754-6122. That's 754-6122. Don't miss your chance to hear jazz performed by the musicians who made it famous. Charlie, as we continue, this one I think has to be the biggest all-time record that you ever turned out, Dark Eyes with the Gene Krupa Trio. Is that your biggest?
Yeah. We did that out in Hollywood also with Gene and Teddy Napoleon, the pianos, Dark Eyes.
How did that one come to be?
Gene, as you know, when Gene was a member of the Benny Goodman Orchestra, Arnold, Benny Goodman had the Benny Goodman Trio, the Benny Goodman Quartet. So it was in Chicago. We were appearing with the big band out at the Sherman Hotel. And Gene had decided to add something with a unit similar to the one that Benny Goodman, like the Benny Goodman Quartet with the Gene Krupa Trio. So it was. It began in 1944. Gene got to me, says, I'm thinking of forming a trio. He says, how about getting some things together? And so I get together a couple of things on Dark Eyes, and that's and with the help of Teddy Napoleon and Gene. And that was the first song that we started to kick around and get a little arrangement on, and it got better. We made it up as we went along. The more we played it, the more the additional little phrases and so forth and so on. And when we got to Hollywood, we recorded that. Gene said he wanted to record that, and I was very fortunate that nice things happened with it, Donald. You know, we got...
We get a reaction every time we play it, even today. It's a brilliant piece of music. And I have to read something from the liner notes that Gene Krupa added to this. He says, we made this as a throw-in on a date when the strings and saxes and brass had gotten into a big hassle about pitch. I finally got so disgusted I sent the band home. And so the tape shouldn't be a total loss. Charlie and Teddy and I decided to record this. It turned out to be one of our biggest hits. Thank you. It's an amazing thing because you play sweetly and yet you play some marvelously intricate things too. Do you still play that one note for note in your personal appearance?
Well, see, with different groups that I've been associated with, we always have a different approach to the beginning of the song, but I maintain that line at the end where we do that thing with the drums, the arrangement. I keep that in, you know. I still do it, and I'm very happy to do it, and I'm glad that people asked me that they recalled the song, because I thought for a moment that there weren't too many people that would be that interested in our type of music, because I think, Arnold, that if there were more people like you in presenting these type shows and having the people aware that there's so much going on, and if people were just getting a chance to listen to it, and I think they would enjoy it, they really respond nicely to it.
And young people, too.
Yeah.
It's nice to see. Now, did the recording of Dark Eyes and the popularity of it then spawn your other recording of Body and Soul?
Yeah, and Gene had the reaction, the response that he got from the trio. We would appear on shows. He would also make the, when we would play different engagements, say in theaters, well, he would put the trio as a part of the act. The trio became a very important factor in the presentation of when he would present the band. It was a nice thing. I enjoyed it.
Let's get back to your own band, Charlie. Okay. 1946. You said that you organized and you had Gene Krupa's blessing and even his financial backing. Mm-hmm. And I know you told me earlier that you hired a young vocalist out of Philadelphia named Eddie Fisher.
Yep. Yeah, Eddie Fisher. Yeah, he was only 16 years old at the time, and I was rehearsing at Nola Studios in New York City with my big band, and incidentally, my big band consisted of some outstanding players, such as Neil Hefti, who was one of the, not only playing in the band, but also the arranger, one of the arrangers, as you know, Neil Hefti, with the Woody Herman Orchestra.
Genius.
And I had six saxophones, four trombones, and a full rhythm, close to almost 18 to 20 in all.
It was a big band indeed.
Yeah, it was a big band. And John Glucksman was an attorney and one of the general managers of Gene Krupa. He said, we have a boy from Philadelphia, he says, who's going to become a winner and wants you to try him out and so forth and so on. I said, I'll do my best. And it was Eddie Fisher. And he had the voice and he had the qualities, but I tried and tried and tried. We'd make all these beautiful arrangements for him, and it was just that his timing, during that time, I don't know whether he was scared or what, but his, he called it meter, loss of meter. He would come in at different times, and it would throw the band entirely. We had to stop playing with the instruments and have to play ad lib behind him, have a piano follow him and catch him at a different letter during the arrangement, letter G, or have the whole band. So Eddie was with my big band in 1946 for about 3 months, and I used to say times were pretty difficult during those years for a new band to get going. And
it was even a tough year, Charlie, if I may interrupt, for the old established bands. I think 13 of the major big bands went out of business in 1946.
Right, so I decided to break up my band and for a while, temporarily, and reduce it and get a small band.
I have to quote from George T. Simon's book, The Big Bands. I'm sure you've known George over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Charlie Ventura, whose booting tenor sax had been a spark plug in Gene Krupa's band, left the drummer and for a while in 1946 tried his hand at band leading. It was a brave gesture that failed. Ventura, a serious, straightforward gent, attracted some of the country's top young talent. Neil Hefti arranged and played trumpet. Tony Scott was on clarinet. Margie Hyams played vibes and wrote additional scores. Other contributors to a well-stocked library included George Williams and Justin Stone. The band was a colorful one, with Ventura featured on soprano and alto sax in addition to tenor. It recorded a few sides for National, which revealed little of the band's attractions. Played several dates, mostly in the East, but never really got off the ground. Eventually, Ventura returned to Krupa, with whom he found a haven for many years thereafter. This is the album that I have called Jumping with Ventura. Isn't your original big band that we're talking about, is it?
Yeah, that was my first big band recording date, with the one that George Simon's referring to.
Is that right?
Those first top songs are How High the Moon, Miserloo, Annie Annie Over, and Moon Nocturne. That's all the big man.
You had some great people out of Woody Herman's band, yeah. Obviously.
Mm-hmm. We had guys like Neil Hefti, the late Dave Tuff on drums. There was Ralph Burns. There was Connie Condoli and Chubby Jackson. Bill Harris, all great players. Tony Aless at the piano, Bill Harris trombone, all out of Woody's band.
As you think back to this band, is there a particular record of that whole bunch? Is there one you like better than any other?
I was hoping that maybe I get a chance to do them all over again. I think that High the Moon is Neil Hefti arrangement. Features Tony Scott. Anything that you select is okay with me.
I'm glad you said that, Charlie, because I'm going to select How High the Moon. The Moon. Say, if yours is a family that likes summer excursions, you probably have big plans for these upcoming weeks. But what about that car of yours? If it's not in top condition, you may find yourself in a strange garage instead of on the road. Don't let anything keep you from your vacation. Just make your first stop Russo Chevrolet across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. If you need repairs, Russo has a top-flight crew of trained mechanics who are ready to put your car in the best possible condition. With the help of their new electronic analyzer, you can be sure your car will be ready for any road and weather conditions. If a new car is in your future, Russo has a grand selection of Chevy Impalas and Caprices for full family comfort, and also that luxurious traveler, the Monte Carlo. For smaller loads, perhaps you'll choose the sporty Camaro or the dependable economical Vega. If camping is your sport, Russo has everything from the popular pickup camper to fully equipped motorhomes. Remember, any way you want to go, Russo has the car or truck to get you there in style. That's Russo Chevrolet across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. Let's move up again to the year 1949, if we can, Charlie, and we're going to play another cut by the Metronome All-Stars. We had that thing called Overtime earlier, and that sounded like more. There's another one called Victory Ball. Do you remember it?
Yeah. I guess why they got the title, I think, is we're all victors in winning the awards, I think, the Victory Ball. And the same personnel that played in Overtime, that's the same personnel. And to me, there are moments that I'll never forget, is being alongside of the Giants, which is the late Charlie Parker. And it was a thrill for me to be a member of that all-star group, believe me. There you have it, the world's greatest jazz band of Yank Lawson and Bob Haggard. It's what every jazz fan has been waiting for, and they're appearing June 21st at the Palace Theater in Waterbury. See the greats of jazz in concert for this one-night performance. Vic Dickinson, Bud Freeman, Bobby Rosengarten, Eddie Hubbell, Ralph Sutton, Bob Wilbur, and Billy Butterfield. From coast to coast and around the world, critics have acclaimed the world's greatest jazz band as one that truly lives up to its name. Don't miss these famous heroes of jazz in their special one-night performance, Thursday, June 21st, 8 p.m. at the Palace Theater, 100 East Main Street in Waterbury. Tickets are on sale now at $3, $4, and $5. Call 754-6122. That's 754-6122. Don't miss your chance to hear jazz performed by the musicians who made it famous. And now back to our conversation with Charlie Ventura. And Charlie, I know that quite recently you've made some records with a gentleman we admire very much, Jackie Gleason. Yeah, very
that must
happy.
Be an experience.
Yeah, it was playing with violins. I think the entire orchestra consisted of close to 50, 55 men, Arnold. And he had come out with a lot of his own ideas where he would, he had a caption, themes for lovers only, movie themes, mood for lovers only, And then this one of the albums in particular, he very seldom does without strings, was called Brass for Lovers Only. And I had the good fortune of recording, appearing on at least 18 sides on the Capitol label with him. And there's a lot of things by Bobby Hackett.
See? Yes.
And it was a thrill staying in a little room with 50 men, violins all over the place, and being a little cubbyhole with a little screen and doing the solo on
the And you're the star.
With all the violins and all that. It was nice. I enjoyed
When I interviewed Bobby Hackett on this program, I think you'll get a kick out of the line. I asked him, is Jackie Gleason a good conductor? And he said, is Toscanini funny? Here is the Jackie Gleason Orchestra with Charlie Ventura and My Love for Carmen. Time we're recording this, Charlie, you are making a local appearance. How large a group are you playing with?
A trio. May I say that I always like experimentation in sounds of music. I'm playing with a quarter box, and it's an accordion, you know. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't sound like if you hear an accordion. It sounds like an orchestra. It sounds like a full rhythm section, either a piano, it sounds like an organ, it sounds like a, also you can hear the bass, you can hear the entire thing. It's so full. I like getting involved in different sounds and coming up with these different ideas. And today the guys are really knowing what to do with their instruments, and the people, the reaction of the people out of the club, they seem to enjoy it, and that makes me happy. You know?
Do you have any regrets about your musical career?
No. You enjoyed every moment of it.
You don't mind that you left that safe, secure clerk's job where you would have been retired by now?
No, I enjoyed that. It's one thing, nice thing about music, you meet a lot of nice people. And to me, that's everything, you know.
One of the nicest we've met on this program is Charlie Ventura. Thank you very much, and I hope you keep playing for a long time.
Thank you, Arnold. It was a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you.
giant of jazz indeed, a man as humble and friendly as he is talented, and that's saying a lot. Our special thanks to Charlie Ventura, tonight's guest on a one-night stand with the big bands. Engineering by Bob Schirago. This program was produced and edited by Brian Hartnett. And presented by Russo Chevrolet, where you'll find great savings and dependable cars and a lifetime of service. Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. And by the Palace Theater of Waterbury, featuring the world's greatest jazz band, coming June 21st. Our next one-night stand with the big bands, Wednesday, July 4th, 9:05 till 10. This is Arnold Dane.